All right, it's that time again. Time for PWA Radio Episode 3. Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Rob Robinson. As always, you can find us on the web at www.the-pwa.com. I'm not going to waste any time this week. We're going to get right to the action. We're going to start off with a preview of Rampage and Genesis 5 with our special guest this week, Mark McNasty. So let's get right into that. All right, what we're going to do now is we are going to, since this is being recorded days ahead of time, we are going to go ahead and preview the Rampage and the upcoming Genesis event. And by we, of course, I mean our guest this week, Intercontinental Champion Mark McNasty. So, do you know what the cards are? Do you know what's going on? Do I have to tell you?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, well, you can tell me you want, but I got a card in front of me.
All right. Well, let's start off with Rampage. First match I see is Kyle Stevenson against Nightmare. What do you think?
I think that Stevenson's going to get trashed for yet another week.
Isn't this the... this is a number one contendership for your title, right?
Yeah.
you laughed there. So are you not taking these guys seriously? Is that what I'm hearing?
Either way, I don't care, dude. I mean, everyone they send against me, I've plowed through like a piece of snow with salt. I mean, it really just doesn't bother me.
Oh, well, big words. You know what? I'm pulling for Kyle Stevenson because I don't really know why. Because I can beat him. That's why. I've beat him before, and I can beat him again. So I want him to win.
So essentially you want to give me an easy match. Thanks, Rob. I didn't know you were my friend.
Well,
nice to know you got friends where it counts.
Let's see. We got Circa versus Skartik versus Fallen Angel. Do you know Fallen Angel? You familiar with his work?
Not really.
I believe he was, unless this is, you know, another guy with the same name, we have a bunch of those, but I believe, if my memory serves, he is a former PWA world champion, like way, way back in the day. What do you think about this match?
Well, just with my knowledge, I mean, you know, Circa's got a nice rack, but she's also got some nice skill. I don't... really know much about Skartik other than I can't really understand his promos since je ne parle pas français, and if Fallen Angel's the same guy you're talking about and not just like another guy taking the name such as your buddies Doshki and Dragon know about, cough fake rage.
I don't even know. I guess I might go with that. Oh, and according to the records here, yes, Fallen Angel is a at least two and possibly three-time former world champion.
Then why don't we go for the former champion?
And I think this will be his debut match back. So that ought to be... Well, I don't know if it's going to be exciting or not. I'm like you, I don't really care.
And it's... Wow, that's harsh, dude. I mean, you say he's a two-time former champ, and it's a number one contendership for the TV title. Ouch.
Well... You know, we can't all be me coming back for big things. Let's see. Fatal Tragedy versus the Masters of Armageddon. I don't know who any of these people are.
Well, I took on Matt Engel. Or, I'm sorry, Angle. Ugh, that's some weird enunciations in this match.
Who's Fatal Tragedy?
Let's see. That would be the Engel brothers.
Oh. Okay, I don't care.
Matt and... Let's see, Mad Odyssey, and they're fighting Vicious and Duff, whatever the hell that guy's last name is.
Yeah, just Duff.
Oh, and it gets better. Corey Lazarus is doing commentary.
Really? Does he have anything worthwhile to say?
I would highly doubt
it. Yeah, me too. You know, have you seen this new team, the Fighting Irish?
Actually, I did catch them on the roster. I was looking it over since I heard we had so many cuts. You know anything about them?
I know nothing about them, but I like Irish people, so I want to see them go at it.
Love to go party with those
and
guys.
Especially, I was having a talk with Moke and Dragon just earlier today, and we all agree that the tag team ranks are pretty thin right now. So maybe we can finally have a serious some serious competition with the Fighting Irish, because we sure as hell don't have it now.
I'm going to do you a favor and pretend I didn't hear that.
No, that's true. That wasn't fair of me. I should never discount the Brothers Grimm.
I believe the next match involves Scott Nastrader and Riona Langley. Why don't we talk about that one?
How many Straders are there? This is not the Death Reaper guy, is it?
I honestly couldn't tell you. It's the same as those Engels. I mean, when you mention the Engel brothers, there's like six of them, so you really can't narrow it down to Straders either.
Yeah, so...
She just slapped their face across the screen and put Trojan at the bottom or something.
Yeah, you know, if I remember right, Riona Langley, she beat Duff last Friday. Was it last Friday? Yeah, I think it was last Friday. So, what, you think she's going to go over again?
I don't see any reason why not. These Straders really haven't impressed me all that much, so wouldn't be any surprise.
And what do you think? There's a lot of... Oh, actually, this leads right into the next match. There's a lot of girls competing. Have you noticed this?
Yeah, I'm not complaining, though. Makes the locker room scene quite enjoyable.
And really, it's easy victories, but... I don't know. It just I don't see how the fans are really enjoying this, because you get like the next match, Helix versus Fire. That's a title match, isn't it?
I think it is. I think it's a TV title.
That
in it
sounds good to me. So
well, there you go.
So Helix just beat was it Odyssey for the title? I believe it was Odyssey.
Yeah, I took down Odyssey last week.
So.
I think the fans still haven't gotten over that upset.
But was it an upset? Because Odyssey, that was like, I think, his second match in. He won the title, so I don't really know if that's an upset to lose your second match.
Yeah, but I don't see all that much of support for Helix in the back, so I think maybe Odyssey got cocky, and that led to a short title reign.
Yeah. I see. So that's it for Rampage, isn't it? Not a real exciting, you know, bunch of matches, but I think that's because the big stars really have got the night off because of the repeat airing of the Lost Genesis 5 pay-per-view.
Oh, duh, dude. You know, Chameleon's main eventing that Genesis 5 replay. He doesn't want the, like, you know, actual stars of the company holding him down.
That's a good point.
Gives me the night off, gives Wilkie a night off, like, say, gave a couple of the other big names off, although they're going to be showing on Project X, Razor. But essentially, he just gave the actual talent of the company a night off so he wouldn't be showing up.
Oh, absolutely. I don't know if you go to the PWA website, the-pwa.com, very often, but right there on the front page, they've got, the big main event picture, and it's got Chameleon there front and center. Like, you know, his ego isn't big enough already.
Doesn't surprise me.
All right, so, speaking of the Genesis, first match we've got up for that is going to be the Brothers Grimm versus the Ego Trip, which that's MVP and the Man, is that right?
Yes, I believe it
now,
is.
I am under a strict NDA, because while this is a Lost event, I was obviously there. So I'm not going to give away the finishes to the matches, but now you, I don't know what, you were what? 3 when this aired? Is that right? Something like that?
Ouch. What? This was what? 4 years? 3-4 years ago,
yeah,
dude?
Something like that.
Come on. I was winning titles in the BWF. Give me some credit. Mm-hmm.
Like I told Vicious last week, what you did in the minor leagues doesn't really count now.
Man, you're just harsh tonight.
Not just tonight. So, Brothers Grimm versus Ego Trip. I think it's usually a pretty safe bet to bet on the Brothers Grimm, especially in this era of the PWA. They dominated the tag team title scene, and I don't see any reason to think they're not going to prevail over MVP and the Man.
I mean, honestly, dude, I'd probably go with you, Rob. I mean, bunch of former world champs in that ring, but when it comes to a tag team match, I mean, back in that era, at least... I'd probably go with the Grimms.
Project X versus Thunderwolf. I'm not a big Thunderwolf fan, so I hope that he gets severely flattened.
You want to enlighten me a little on this Thunderwolf guy?
He was basically a blowhard from back in the day. I forget what he's doing now. I think he owns a flower shop. I'm pretty sure that's what he does. Works in a flower shop.
See, Rob, it's that kind of unbiased reporting that makes me like you. Yeah. So I'm going to go with Project X.
Excellent. And then we've got the Phoenix versus Showtime, which was the best match of the night. Absolutely.
No kidding.
Yeah, that was a 6-star classic. They had to add an extra star for how awesome it was. So not going to give anything away there, but it was an excellent match. And I wouldn't be saying that if lost.
Well, seeing I don't get paid if I get cut off early, I think I'm going to go with Phoenix on this one.
Excellent. Then we've got the Razor taking on Rage, who is not the Rage that was recently in the PWA and I believe has quit. This is the original legendary Rage.
So this isn't Dragon either.
No, this is not that. This is not the Dragon as Rage either. No.
You know what? Razor's just full of hot air, and he has been his whole life. I'm going to go with Rage. Let's see an upset tonight.
That's what I'm going to say. In fact, they've been airing some of the old promos. Did you catch the Rage promo?
No, actually, I didn't have a chance to look it over.
That's too bad, because it was excellent. It was I enjoyed it thoroughly, and then, of course, it was classic Razor response, and by classic, I mean boring as hell. So,
blah, 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 steal your soul, blah,
exactly,
blah, blah, dead
yeah,
man.
Oh, yeah, exactly. and then, to finish up the event, we have the match we were talking about earlier, Chameleon versus Jamie Havoc, and I'm probably going to leave, you know, if this were happening now, I would be leaving the arena early to beat the traffic.
Yeah, man, I mean, I'm probably going to have my TV off by that point. It just really isn't all that exciting to me.
Oh, that's awesome. So, all right, that would be the big previews, the super exciting week here in the PWA, as we are, I guess, really just kind of spinning our wheels until revolutions per minute. That sound about right to you?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I think so, too, because we've got a lot of exciting stuff going on in, I don't know, wow, about two and a half weeks' time now, so I guess we can't, you know, give all the excitement off at once. So, there we go, and now we'll kick it back to Rob in the future, who will be doing some recaps of the events that we just previewed. All right. Thanks, Rob, from the past. I want to give a special thanks to Commissioner Joe Boxer for helping me out with the recap for this week and the preview for next week, as a matter of fact. We're only going to be able to do Rampage because as of the recording of this, then we still don't have clearance to talk about what happened at Genesis 5. Haven't been lifted from that NDA yet, and I'm sure it's just an oversight from the front office, but hey, what can you do? So here we go. On Rampage, here's what happened. First, we start off with Fallen Angel. He gets replaced with Kyle Stevenson in the TV title contendership match. Apparently this is a two-fall match. The first fall goes to Circa. She gets her shot at the title at Revolutions Per Minute. And the winner of the second fall is Kyle Stevenson, so good job for him. He gets his shot on April 11th. Following that, Riona Langley beats Scott Strader to claim the number one contendership to the Grizzly Bear title. But Joe Boxer came out. He said that Riona can cash in her shot 2 weeks after Revolutions Per Minute due to Virus and Vicious already being planned for that event. Then we've got a segment with Nightmare and Company. It's a slash advertisement for Club Purgatory. Nightmare follows that up by defeating Kyle Stevenson in his second match of the night for the number one contendership of the Intercontinental title. So, I guess my picks aren't so hot. Fire wins her second match to put her at 50-50, looks like, here in the PWA. She defeated Helix for the television title. So, you know, skill, luck, fluke, who knows, but we've got a new TV champ. The Masters of Armageddon and the Angles have a segment. And the Masters of Armageddon follows that up by defeating Final Tragedy. And we close out the show with a segment with Virus and Lisa. Now, coming up next week, April the 4th, we've got a pretty good-looking Rampage, to be quite honest. We're going to start it off with the Razor Dolls taking on the Brothers Grimm. Vicious will be taking on Riona Langley. Grade A Nastiness will take on the unlikely team of the Phoenix and Razor. Television champion Fire will take on Jacob Collins in a title match for the TV title. And our main event's going to be Corey Lazarus versus Matthew Engel in a no disqualification match. So, that's looking fantastic. And then on the Chaos side of things for April 4th, we've got the Fighting Irish versus Helix and Kyle Stevenson. And as big a fan as I am of Kyle Stevenson, I'm really excited to see what the Fighting Irish bring to the table. Scott Nash Strader will take on Odyssey. Nightmare will take on the Kindred. Erica Engel will take on Circa. And in the main event, it's Deacon Frost versus Duff No Last Name. So that's what you got to look forward to in the next week here in the PWA. Now we're going to go take a break, and after that we'll come back with our interview with Intercontinental Champion Mark McNasty.
I'm not feeling that great. I'm not catching on fire today. Love has started to fade. I'm not going to smile today. I'm not gonna laugh. You're out living it up today. I've got dues to pay. And the grave digger puts on the forceps. The stonemason does all the work. The barber can give you a haircut. Carpenter can take you out to lunch now, but I just want to play on my panpipes. I just want to drink me some wine. As soon as you're born, you start dying, so you might as well have a good time. Oh no, sheep go to heaven.
All right, and we are back from that fine break of music that I don't know what it was, because I'll decide that later on in the week. Right now, we are here with our Intercontinental Champion, and if he has his way, the future Tag Team Champion, one half of Grade A Nastiness, Mark.
It's not if I have my way, buddy. It's when I finally get my way, because Chameleon can't keep me down any longer.
Possibly. But that's once Moke and Dragon decide to retire and the titles are up for grabs again. And to finish the introduction, Mark McNasty.
thank you.
Yes, you're welcome. We'll just get this out of the way first. Lately I've noticed you're on TV, you're doing interviews, talking to people, and you've been calling yourself the Iron Man of the PWA. So what's up with that?
Well, I mean, isn't it obvious, Rob? Ever since the...
More obvious, would I ask?
Touche. Ever since the Accused of Glory matches, people were talking about how everyone was a fluke champ. They were just handed it their title.
That's a valid point.
As of this point, I am the only man to still hold my title.
Well, who have you faced?
No matter... Who have I faced?
Yeah, I haven't been paying attention. No. It's kind of, you know, beneath me.
I put down Corey Lazarus.
Oh, that's all right.
Twice, actually. Actually, it's really sad you haven't been paying attention, because I believe I pinned you once, Rob.
Did you?
Yeah, pretty sure.
No, I don't think that happened.
Well, let me think. No, I'm sorry. I didn't pin you, but I beat you in Project X in a tag match with Wilkie.
Oh, that hardly counts.
You didn't walk away winner, so stoic, buddy. Let's see. Besides that, let me just do this. Let me pull up my website. Let me give a quick little plug. BigNasty.com. Thank you. So far, since I've won that shiny little belt, I put down, let's see, Project X in that tag match I told you about. Put down Lazarus twice, actually. There was that sad excuse of a match where Jacob Collins replaced Deacon Frost, was it? That huge six-man, Grade A Nastiness, Angle, Pohatu, supposed to be Frost, and someone else, Jamie... something, that guy who was TV champ for like a week and then got the crap beat out of him by the MOA. And everyone bailed on the match and we were just left with that sad little jobber, Jacob Collins.
He's got heart, though.
Oh, yeah, because you know Hart and Accordo will buy you a comic anyway. Then there was that overhyped excuse of Mampo Hattu, or Potato, as everyone lovingly calls him. And as you'll notice, he hasn't shown his face since. So I believe I've shown that no matter what's put against me, no matter how big the odds are made out to be against Mark McNasty, I still walk out with my title and they walk away with a concussion if they're lucky.
Well, but remember this. Coming up, probably Revolutions Per Minute on the first night, because you'll be competing on the first night of Revolutions Per Minute, unlike me, who will be competing on the third night in the main event. But you'll be competing the first night defending your Intercontinental Championship, because I don't think that they're going to, you know, let you have a chance to lose it before then. Probably against Kyle Stevenson. Now, he's a guy that could surprise you.
Well, I see Stevenson out there trying, but as we've already covered, you can try as hard as you want. That doesn't necessarily guarantee you're going to walk away with it. Plus, he is going against Nightmare, who does seem to be quite focused, if I want to give him some credit. And this is the same Nightmare who started the Sex and Violence stable that spanned Federation, so you got to give the guy some backing.
No, I don't think I do. You see, and let me explain to you why. This is the same thing I went over with Vicious time and time again, that I don't care what you did before or what you did anyplace else. That doesn't matter. That's inconsequential, because that's like taking candy from a baby. You're in the little, you know, the little leagues, and where everybody gets a turn to bat and everybody gets to run around the bases and you all get ice cream after the matches. But this is the big time here in the PWA. It's what you do here that really matters. So I don't really care what Nightmare and all his little buddies do. You know, how much they talk backstage, they ambush people. They need to do something, you know, in the ring and maybe get some gold, and maybe then I'll give them a little bit of credit. But until then, I just don't care.
Well, Rob, if you wouldn't mind to stop wasting some air and let me get back
it
to my point. You've just Well then, prepare for a takeover, buddy, because you just reinforced my point. You talk about the here and now. I've been twice in 3 months, buddy. I put away 7 people to the mat. I've been in crazy matches with anywhere from jobber level people to guys who are supposed to be crazy big shots. I mean, if you want some proof of why I'm the Iron Man, let's look back at Who's the Man. Do you mind just for 1 minute?
I don't really have any desire to go back over that. That's in the past.
We don't need to go over the matches, buddy. We need to go over one simple thing. 2 main events occurred. The Phoenix vs. Corey Lazarus and Razor vs. Project X. 3 of those men I personally pinned. That means that I should not only be the world champ, but I should be the franchise of this place.
Well, except you're talking to the one man that you haven't pinned.
But I didn't see you pin me in that match where we were up against each other,
what,
buddy.
You
walked down
the losing
side.
Anytime you step in the ring with me, I'll kick your ass. That's pretty much how it goes. Although,
no problem
with
that.
Although, as long as you get the IC title, it's not going to happen, because that's a little... All right, that's a lot beneath me. Yeah.
Ouch.
So, you know, I don't know if you noticed my match, the London Spurning Cage match, where I was kind of gold bricking a little bit. It was for the Grizzly Bear title, for God's sake. I'm not taking
the one you lost that match. Am I talking about the right match?
Actually, you phrased it wrong. The one I threw.
I guess it's all about
it's
perspective.
It's all about not winning that piece of crap title is what it's all about. I mean, fuck, let Vicious have it. I don't care. I'm going on to the main event, which is, you know, something you probably would like to do someday. So, good luck.
Blah, blah, blah. If you win, buddy, it just means you're holding that title for me.
Speaking of my main event at, you know, Revolutions Per Minute, I just can't stay out of the main events, despite, you know, how aggravating that is to everybody else. You know who else is in the main event with me? Your tag team partner, Grady Alex Wilkie. Now, if he's got the world title, if by some fluke he manages to win the world title, what's that really going to do for your tag team? Why is he going to stick around with, you know, you when he's got the world title to worry about?
Because Wilkie knows if he turns his back on me, then I'm going to be the first guy gunning for him. I mean, I'm the Intercontinental Champion. Have been for 3 months, as I pointed out. My name is right there under whoever holds that world title belt.
Now, that is true. You have been the Intercontinental Champion for 3 months now. Whereas Great A. Alex Wilkie was the Grizzly Bear Champion for not as long. And he lost the title and immediately goes on to the main event at the next big event. While you're still toiling away in the mid-card. So how does that feel? How does that feel to be completely overshadowed by your tag team partner?
You know what it says to me? It says it's just more propaganda to try to make Grade A Nastius implode. I heard Chameleon last week. When you asked him about why hasn't Grade A Nastius gotten a tag team title, he couldn't give you a proper answer. He started stuttering. It's just more Chameleon-imposed games to try to make the one potential threat to those tag titles try to implode, turn two main event guys into that are buddies, turn against each other, and turn into a money match for Chameleon. It's all just to make his day better and his wallet thicker.
Excellent impression, by the way. I thought that I had fallen into a time warp to last week. So, okay. I suppose. I will, you know, I'll talk to Alex Wilkie at some point in the future and get his perspective on this. But it seems like he's definitely just passed you right on by. So, and another thing is, I know, you talked about that tag team title shot. But if he's got the world title, he's not going to have time to go after the tag team titles.
Yeah, that's probably just because he's going to be too busy with his action figures and comics. He loves that stuff. He's like a kid with ADHD. Can't drag him away from it.
Here's the thing. Here's what I cannot wait to see. I can't wait to see for you to lose the IC title and Alex Wilkie to win the world title. And I guarantee you that's the end of Grade A Nastiness right there.
I don't know about that, man. We gotta see.
Alright. Well, you know, this actually... Your comments there led up to my next question. I've got it written down, so I'm not making this shit up. Is Chameleon holding you down? And you specifically, not Grade A Nastiness, not Alex Wilkie, because God knows Alex Wilkie's, you know, he's sharing the main event spotlight with the Phoenix, so he's doing all right. Is he?
Oh yeah, because you know when you're in the same ring as the Phoenix, you've
well,
made it.
Pretty much, historically speaking, if you look back over the last 3 months' worth of events in the PWA, yeah, if you're in a program with the Phoenix, if you're in the ring with the Phoenix, whether you're teaming with him or fighting against him, yeah, you're pretty much on the map right there, my friend.
Oh please, you want to talk about making it? Our current world champ and the guy who's currently the franchise of the PWA, both of them have had one pinfall loss since the PWA reopened. Guess who that was against? You're talking to him. I make people, buddy.
That doesn't make any sense at all. Were you drinking? Okay.
No.
Yeah, no. Razor is, his brother's running the place. So, come on. You know.
That shows even more of an accomplishment. You saw the abortion of a match that was the world title match against Project X, but I managed to get two straight consecutive clean falls over Razor. That says something more about me than him.
That is impressive, because typically you are aware that Chameleon would normally come out. Well, he must not have been in the building that night, because he would typically come out and reverse the decisions on matches like that.
Reverse the decision and turn into a last man standing match, Kennel from Hell match, who knows what he would have done.
Yeah, like a only Razor can win match, yeah, that kind of thing.
I think Wilkie tried that and Chameleon didn't let that slide.
Now, you've alluded to this already, but apparently you've done some stuff before the PWA. Now, I said that I don't really care, but our listeners maybe aren't as discerning as me. What have you done that really kind of made you into the fine, outstanding Intercontinental Champion that you are today?
Well, I was in a federation which I believe Chameleon talked about called the Blazing Wing Wrestling Federation for, geez, probably 3.5 years on and off, depending on when Blazing Wing ran into marital or financial issues and had to close and reopen 2 or 3 months later, close again, reopen to try and take it back from whoever he gave it to. More drama than a soap opera. But while I was there, I got a laundry list, dude. I held pretty much every major title. I held some undercard titles. Hardcore champion, international champion, tag team champion, U.S. champion, two-time world champion, first Grand Slam champion of the BWF, which is quite something to say considering the place had already been open for like 3 years since I got there. And I was the first one to gain that title. The title of Grand Slam champ.
Do you recognize the names of any other of the champions from there?
Oh, God, yeah, dude. Half of them migrated here. Let's see. Chameleon was a champion. Razor was a champion.
Uh-huh.
Wilkie held a couple of titles. I'm sorry that Phoenix wasn't there to impress you. He must have been too busy drinking his Yoo-Hoo or something.
That's my cool dude.
Let's see. That feisty little Fire was over there. I believe she was a tag team champion at some point. You know, I can tell you all these people, but none of them are really going to stand up to me. None of them can compare to me in terms of domination of the BWF. So it's just really a waste of airtime. So if you have a follow up,
no,
why don't we move on?
I don't really have much else to talk to you about. Really, I was hoping you'd have something interesting to say. So. What do you want to tell the people, all the people listening at home, about Intercontinental Champion Mark McNasty?
What do I want to tell them? A title is only as good as whoever holds it. A world champion, the saying is anyone can beat anyone on any given night. Flukes happen. Champions say that they're the greatest, and then they'll lose their title a week or two after getting it. And what really makes a good champion is the ability to prove you're not a fluke. That's why no matter what level a title is on, it's that ability to get past who's ever thrown against you in whatever stipulation on any given night for a consistent amount of time that makes you a real champion, makes you credible. And that's why Mark McNasty, Intercontinental Champion, is a threat to anyone he is put in the same ring as.
I see. I'm sorry, I zoned out. Let me ask you this. Is McNasty your real name?
Yeah, actually.
Really?
Irish.
I see. I hadn't heard that before.
Didn't want to bring it up when you were talking about Flanagan and Brannigan or whatever their names are.
I didn't know they had names. I just knew they had a tag team name, and that's good enough for me. I probably should start paying attention a little bit more.
I don't even know if that's their names. I really didn't pay attention. I just saw a couple of blondes on the roster, thought they might be chicks, was sadly disappointed when I saw it was a couple of wrinkled old blonde guys.
No, they probably are, that's not even nice. I'm not even going to go there.
Well, like I said, I mean, I hold nothing against them right now. I mean, I wouldn't mind partying with them, because, I mean, if you're Irish, you know how to party.
That's what I hear. I am German, so I really don't know.
Well, let's go eat some Wiener Schnitzel or something, buddy, where your Lero is.
Okay. Well, that'll wrap it up for this part of our interview with Mark McNasty. Anytime somebody talks with the Lederhosen, I've got to go change. So we will be back after this break with even more from the Intercontinental Champion, and that's all he'll ever be, Mark McNasty.
The only pain and hatred and
All right, and we are back with his name is Kyle. He is the handler of
Mark.
Yeah, Mark McNasty, the guy we were just talking to. And we're going to do a bit of talking with him now. So I'm going to ask you the same question I've asked everybody that's been on here, which hasn't been that many. But how'd you get into e-fetting?
Well, I'd heard of them, but back around 01 when I got my first real computer, I would hang around the WWE chat rooms. Wow, are those things exciting. And right around the time that Grandmaster Sexay got fired for the first time, I had someone approach me about an e-fed, and I had no clue.
Wait a minute. So you mark time by Brian Christopher?
No, I just distinctly remember this for some very sad reason. But the reason I remember, if you would have let me speak like two more sentences, the reason I remember was because some guy came to me and asked me to be in his fed, and I distinctly remember going, "I'll join if I can be Grandmaster Sexay." And so he's like, "Yeah, whatever, I don't care, just join."
That's awesome, because nobody would ever be.
Yeah, pretty much for like the first 2 years I did, I never saw anyone else want to be anywhere near too cool. But yeah, so joined up, and that's that.
So that was obviously a real wrestler fed.
Yeah, I actually, that BWF, when I joined late 04, that was actually the first major fake fed I ever did. For about 2.5-3 years, I was all into real feds because I grew up doing a lot of acting, and I just loved the characters of the WWE, and I loved making them into sort of like taking the major characteristics of them and just accentuating it, turning it into its own character, and it was just fun to do that.
Oh, so was Mark McNasty your first character?
Actually, no. McNasty was my second. I had one fed that was fake that I joined through a girl I met in the WWE chat. I actually still talk to her. And she was in some e-fed. And it was a really cool place. The guy had you send in a picture of yourself, and he would use those to make cards and stuff. And so I used a character I'd created on a N64 game, because I absolutely had no more creativeness than that. And on WrestleMania 2000, which was a great game before its predecessor, before No Mercy, which was possibly the best N64 game ever, came out afterwards, I couldn't figure out how to unlock Michael, so I just figured, what the hell, I know I have his clothes, I'll go make him in a Kaw form. And I started going, and I just decided to change him up a little, gave him short hair, boss man vest, sunglasses, you know, made him look sort of cool, tough. And for some reason, I wanted to name him mixed between Michaels and Godfather, and I know I'm never going to hear the end of this from anyone who listens to this, but I called him Buff Pimpkin for God knows what reason. And so that was my first fake character.
Oh, I was thinking there was more story. Alright.
Well, your question was just, was that your first character? So I just figured.
Oh, alright. Yep. That, I don't know why I was expecting that.
If you'd like to post a follow up, that'd be great.
Yeah, so what was your, the follow up to that would be, what was the inspiration behind McNasty? Like, how did you come up with the character and.
McNasty, how I came up with him is a very simple story. My girlfriend at the time, I told her the name Buff Pimpkin, and she was an avid wrestling fan, and she just starts cracking up and bawling in my face, and she goes, "Why don't you just call him Brutus McNasty?" So, for some reason, and it was a lot catchier when a friend of mine, who was from that first wrestling fed I was in, showed me BWF, I actually just thought of Mark McNasty, and I was like, well, you know what? What the hell? It sounds catchy. I'll use it. And
who's your pick base thing for your...
Since day one, it's been Paul London.
Okay.
I don't know why, but he just looked the part to me of what I imagined Mark McNasty to be.
Nice. Yeah, the pick-based thing was actually fairly new to me with this version of the PWA.
Yeah.
Like, I remember, you know, people would have their little SIGs and stuff before, but...
Funny story for the pick-based thing. Back in BWF, I really don't know why. He never asked me about it, but Dave, the owner and operator, for some reason in his head, he saw London, I should say, as when London would come out with giant fur coats. So anyone who would come into the Federation would think my guy was this preppy guy walking around with a fur coat, and I never used that. So it just was, like, absolutely against the character, but he wouldn't take it down. He wouldn't change it. So that's what my guy looked like for probably a year and a half.
Now, how long have you been in a tag team with Wilkie?
Actually, just since right after the Keys to Glory match, right before, probably like the last week before the Keys were named, we were joking about, like, if we become tag champs, we gotta call ourselves this, or we gotta call ourselves that, and somehow we just jokingly came up with the name Grade A Nastiness.
Huh.
And so eventually Chris threw us into a match, we won, he threw us into another match sometime later for the hell of it, won again, and just keeps happening somehow.
Now, he was in the BWF, right?
Yeah, Wilkie was in BWF.
Okay. Now, this is something that I think is interesting, because I've done tag teams... actually, when I first started, I've always done a tag team Mind Magic. So, but it's just been, you know, me. So how do you guys work out doing your RPs? Do you, like, collaborate, or do you do one and then he'll do one, or how does that go?
Well, it sort of variates. The basic concept is usually... we'll do our own RP, and if we have a part with each other, we'll ask, we'll check to make sure that it doesn't sound too off-character. We actually did do one together. I think it was against Lazarus and Stevenson, and that was just like a two-hour pain, just because we were trying to get it to flow and having to go back and forth in an IM window, so that took a while. So essentially now we just... write ourselves, and if we need to, we check in with each other to get the lines all right.
I see, okay. Yeah, I know when I was talking to Chris last week, he kept going on about how you apparently have huge tag team aspirations, tag team title aspirations. So, would you prefer the tag team titles over singles titles?
Honestly, I like single titles. It's just...
because fuck the other guy.
I'm on the same boat as you. Typically, whenever I was put in a tag match, it's always been me, or I've been stuck with someone who I couldn't talk to, so it's just been me. And it's just fun to chat with Wilkie and come up with these ideas, and I honestly wouldn't mind having a tag team title reign, just because I've always wanted a real tag team title reign, weird as that sounds, but mm-hmm. When I had my thing in BWF when I was tag champ, me and the other guy never spoke once. So that really didn't give me the experience of the tag team champ thing. So it's just when me and Wilkie had been talking about it, sort of got excited about it, and since we've actually been doing decent, it just sort of be nice to have a decent tag team reign.
Oh, okay. Well, I was gonna ask how you found about the PWA, but apparently through the BWF.
Well, Chris specifically, when BWF yeah. was pretty much when Dave had announced it was going to close again, Chris came to me and he's like, you know, I'm going to open a new place, and if McNasty wanted to show up, that'd be cool. I don't know why, he seemed excited over it. He started telling people McNasty might be coming, so.
All right, well, I'm going to go ahead and move into the five questions, because I'm trying to keep this on track and not run nearly as long as last week's. So, what's your favorite gimmick match?
Wow, that's a tough one. If I had to go in character, it would be, and this is a very strange one, Clockwork Orange House of Fun match. Simply because back when I was winning matches in BWF, and I was hardcore champ, people still weren't taking me very serious, giving me a lot of credit. And for the big pay-per-view, WrestleFest, I was putting like a six-way title defense, and it was a Clockwork Orange match. And No one showed up, but from then on, I would always talk about that match when I was McNasty just because it made me sound good that I dominated five other people in this match and retained my first title in it, so. Other than that, Hell in a Cell seems to be a pretty good one. That always leads to, like, good matches and stuff.
Okay. Yeah, I like that one, too. Who's your favorite opponent?
Favorite opponent?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. You know, present, I'd probably say Lazarus. Because I really felt like the first wave of my best stuff here, what really brought me back to my level of quality would be Corey. He really brought out a good sense of my ability to get back in touch with McNasty and start writing a little longer but still having better quality. He was just a good opponent who made me be better.
Okay. Who is your least favorite opponent?
I'd like to give a honorary award to Chris, because if you pointed out, I've gotten to that point, I've only fought him once or twice, and I've gotten to that point where when I'm writing, I'm like, oh god, I can't say that, because if I do, Chris is going to say this.
Yeah, Chris is, he's a huge, huge pain in the ass.
Honestly, I might want to just say the legend, that guy who Chris was talking about. Because, no offense to Anthony, who was the handler, when he wanted to write, he would write some good stuff. But I know the one time I fought him, all he would do was try to come up with some very basic replies to every point I made, and it was a flat-out shoot every time, even though we had like 4 RPs each. All he did was have his guys stand there and talk, and that was it. And it just was really dull and hard to write against.
Okay. I keep losing my place on my notes. what opponent would he most like to face in the PWA?
In the PWA. Well, I'm sure that even if people don't care, they're going to be excited if one day they see Mark McNasty versus Alex Wilkie, just because it's going to be like, oh god, it finally happened, they blew up. Although I don't know how much Wilkie would like that, because I think right now I've beaten him 2 or 3 times before and he's never beat me. Love you, Wilkie. No. But, I don't know. There's a ton of guys who would be fun just to go against. Oh, I know. Since, like, I keep referring to this because I got really excited when I joined PWA again. It was like fun to RP again. I wanted to go against Project X just because his style is so crazy and you can really feel for the character. He does a good job of letting you feel the character and drawing you in, and his stuff's different. He doesn't just stick to the normal stuff. I think it would be a fun challenge to try to go against him.
Well, see, I already picked him, so that doesn't count.
Oh, gee, thanks.
And what's the favorite feud that you've had?
Oh boy. Well, one I could say would be when I won the international title in BWF. I had to fight, it's not as much a feud as I just kept fighting the same guy for the title. He kept having the title conveniently when I was put up for it. It was a guy called the Canadian Hero. And it was really strange. The first international title match I got, I'd had to give up my hardcore title, so for a long time I could brag I was the only undefeated hardcore champ, because I went for like 40 some days and gave up the title. And it was supposed to be me in a three-way with Canadian Hero and this guy Bam, who showed up in PWA for like a week and never RP'd. And
that happens a lot.
I actually got confirmation from this. Canadian Hero had been losing world title matches, and Dave felt bad for him, so he gave him the international title. Not to take away from Dave, he was fair 99% of the time. It's just that one time I've given him crap since then. It's nothing to make him sound bad. It's just a personal grudge, like Ron White talking about how he hates Sears for his tire blowing off.
That is a reference I wasn't expecting to hear tonight.
It's more just embarrassing than to say anything bad. But anyway, yeah, so Canadian Hero walked away with the title that night. The second time I was fighting for it, it was me and my manager of the time, Joey Spumoni, who I use every now and then in PWA RPs randomly, against Canadian Hero and Dave's character, Kyrlia Gardevoir, however it's pronounced, and I think Dave won that time. I don't know how that worked, but Dave won. So after like a month of him throwing me into another title thing, which I didn't win, I came back to the international title because I was put in a first round match of the King of the Ring style thing, which was called the Happenstance Tournament, and he'd picked randomly, and I'd ended up fighting Canadian Hero again. Well, Hero had gotten his title back, so we just thought, what the hell, you know, that's pretty convenient, so we'll make it international title match. And I finally won, and what's really cool is that was when people finally started noticing me. They finally started saying, hey, McNasty actually has some talent.
Oh, man, here's this. You'll be excited about this. I'm on the new Revolutions Per Minute website that Joe Boxer just put up.
Yeah.
And Wrestler Spotlight. Care to take a guess?
Let me think. Who could be? How about we go with? Oh God, how's it pronounced?
I'm asking you for a reason.
Doctor Angelo.
Who?
Doki Angelo. I don't know. I want to say how your German guy's name with the Ninja Turtle mix thing is.
That would be Moke Angelo.
Moke Angelo. Okay, thank you.
Yeah. No, it would be Mark McNasty is the spotlighted wrestler for Revolutions Per Minute.
Oh, boy.
According to the website, Mark McNasty first won his PWA Intercontinental title on January 25th, 2008. He's the sole survivor of champions who got their belts through the Keys to Glory event. Let's see, will he be able to retain his title after potentially his biggest match in Ireland? And I'm calling it. It's going to be Kyle Stevenson. I've called it.
Which is pretty ironic considering it looks like... Oh, pretty ironic considering they're spotlighting Nightmare.
Who's spotlighting Nightmare? What?
Under that McNasty thing, it says promo spotlight
true.
Nightmare.
Shit. Gosh, damn it.
Pay attention.
Oh, it's got music. I gotta exit out of that. that's kind of a pet peeve of mine. I hate RPs with music in them.
Yeah, I know. I hate the whole... Honestly, I was telling Chris about this last week. One of my biggest pet peeves is when you have the RP, and they have it on a website for one, and then they put it in a box that's like an inch and a half by another inch and a half, so that it's actually like five paragraphs, and it looks like 16 pages, because it takes an hour to scroll through it.
Yeah, I especially hate that, because my monitor resolutions are, like, they're all like, you know, this is best viewed at, you know, like, whatever. And I'm like, well, for one, my laptop is widescreen, so it's not that resolution. And then my desktop monitor is, like, not at that resolution. It's at a higher one than that. So I'm not going to name any names, but Corey Lazarus, his background, he used like a white text, and his picture that he had, like, since my monitor, my resolution was bigger, the picture wrapped around, and so it was white text on a white picture, and I had to highlight it to read all the RPs.
I love when that happens. I actually have to do that. Mine doesn't even do that. I still have to, like, highlight Lazarus's RPs so I can read them.
But yeah, the music annoys me too, because I'll like check out RPs while I'm at eating lunch at work, and I've got speakers on my computer, so if I don't remember to mute the sound, then all of a sudden I got shit blaring out. Like, God,
nice.
So, yeah, and I really don't want to explain any of that.
Considering I haven't really said anything exciting, you think I could grace the PWA radio listeners with a funny story?
Sure, knock yourself out.
Well, earlier when you said I was McNasty, I was also tempted to mention Brandon Schizomaniac Jones, who I control. And the reason I call him that, I believe he's going on like his seventh persona right now. And it's that I come up with all these different characters, and instead of going out and making new pick bases, new background stories, I just sort of get lazy and slap them on him and say that like some sort of head trauma caused him to have a new character. And he started out where something was going on BWF. I think, like, since they'd reintroduced the United States title, no one could hold it for more than, like, a week or something. So I got bored and wrote some like fake news article for BW Magazine, and I didn't want to put McNasty, so I made a new profile and wrote it as Brandon Jones, BWF Magazine editor or something. And Dave liked the character, so he asked me to wrestle as him. So I came up with the name Brandon Beatdown. I thought it sounded snazzy, stuff like that. So started doing that, and eventually he had some head trauma or some crap, and he became Mr. Hardcore, which was like, Brandon Beatdown was this Boy Scout. So Mr. Hardcore was this hard ass, you know, he loved to beat the shit out of people and all that stuff, Japanese martial arts, stuff like that. And that went for a while, that was good, it picked the character back up for a while. I think I won the X title and held it for about 3 months under that persona. Then me and Dave had a tag team match where we were partners and we got whooped. So afterwards, Kirla and Jones got into a fight and she smacked him real hard, and when he showed up the next time, his persona had changed again and he was now obsessed with her and he was calling himself Brandon the Love Machine, or the Love Machine Brandon Jones, you know, walking out cross between Hugh Hefner and Big Daddy V, where he had the silk robe and stuff. And it was a really sad character. I got rid of it real quick because I was sort of embarrassed to be doing it. But the one thing I remember was I had some sort of like segment we sent in that me and David worked on, and Kiela comes bursting into his love pad where there's like a disco light with purple lights going everywhere, and he says some god awful line like, why don't you come in so we can make a love sandwich? I promise I'll toast your buns.
That's lovely.
Yeah, so I killed that real quick, and let's see. There was a guy in BWF named Jamal Mystic, and he had another persona, sort of like you said Rob was to Phoenix for a while, where no one knew, and then they found out. So this fake apocalypse shows up, and I'd been talking to Dave, and he said that it really wasn't anyone. They had no idea. They were just doing it to be exciting. So I was like, hey, could it be Jones? You know, like, he comes off as this Boy Scout. Could he really be, like, crazy and be trying to kill this guy and stuff? And unfortunately, they killed the angle, so no one really ever found out about that, but I still chalk it up just to add to the legacy of Jones being nuts. And then the last BWF one was this guy, Golden Warrior. Chameleon had come back, and you said that you'd only told Cyrus that you were Phoenix, right? Okay. Well, Chris came to me, and he's going, can you keep a secret? Can you keep a secret? And I'm like, all right, I don't care, tell me. And he told me that he was this masked guy who no one knew who he was and who just showed up on the BWF boards. And the funny part was the name was actually Chameleon in Russian. That was Chris's way of getting a kick out of it, because no one could figure it out when it was bluntly there. And so I was like, how about I bring in someone else? It could be one of my guys. We'll put a mask on him and they could be a tag team. So it was Brandon Jones, and he was calling himself the Golden Warrior. And I think Dave, for the hell of it, had some gimmick battle royale on the last show and had Golden Warrior win and then reveal he was Jones. And just to tip this story off in an exciting way, let me tell you the origins of Brandon the Beat Jones. I was just sitting on my apartment complex shuttle one day thinking about Alex Wright for God knows whatever reason. And I was just thinking, you know, Brandon Beatdown, why don't I turn that into the Beat and have him be like an Alex Wright ripoff? I mean, even if it's really sad, it might actually give someone a laugh, so what the hell? And that's the very sad story of Brandon Jones.
All right.
The character who just can't find his niche. He could give counseling to Mick Foley. I mean, he makes Mick Foley look sane.
Man, and he's got damn fine entrance music, too.
I know, right?
I still get a kick out of that whenever that comes up on the PWA jukebox.
It's definitely different from everyone else, isn't it?
Yes. All right, well, that is going to conclude our fantastic 12-part interview with Mark McNasty.
I'm sure the fans couldn't be happier.
So now we're going to take yet another break. Don't know how many that's going to be for this episode, but I'm just going to say break number 14 coming up here, and we'll come back with listener feedback. Maybe there'll be some. I hope so. It'd be nice. So yeah, break time. Alright, that's going to wrap it up for this, the final episode of PWA Radio. Be sure to tune in next week. We've got a very special guest that I'm not gonna spoil the surprise because I don't have all the details worked out. So, but I'm hopeful that this is going to happen because it's going to be huge. Everybody's going to love this. But that's for next week. So. Here's some more music and maybe a little something special for after the music. You'll just have to listen to it all to find out. Have a week.
I slept beside the winter and the green is growing slow. I've watched you find the places hidden by the snow. I tripped through valley that is blue till you can see. I want you to come walk this world with me. With the night. This world with me. I want you to
I was wondering if you had any schnitzel you could give me. My crumbs have gone stale and my lederhosen are giving me a rash.
Yeah, I have way too much, time to think about lederhosen, apparently.